told me about our aunt and all that, but
for some reason, I don't think I can hear anybody. Can you guys hear me? Okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
I'm doing well. It's good to hear your voice, Dr. Oyerinde.
Yes. Happy New Year to you.
Thank you. Thank you. It's amazing how these kids get these kind of diseases when they're young and they don't, you know, but they know nothing about them.
I was saying I had never heard of this until last week.
Well, you never had RSV. You did have pneumonia. And that's another thing that kids are getting a lot of, as well as older adults. Is that right, Dr. Oyerinde?
Yes. So the extremes of life is when we get this RSV, and even pneumonia is commoner in kids and in older people. It's very rare to have pneumonia, I'll say from about 10 years till about 60 years.
Yeah. You know, both of my kids ended up having pneumonia as infants. And as a mother, I felt like I had done something wrong. Is that a sign that, you know, just need to read some more parenting books or something, or is it just a thing that happens to kids, especially because they go to daycares and things like that?
Right. It's just a thing that happens. The organisms that cause pneumonia, they're not things you can really protect yourself against by just, you know, better hygiene. There are vaccines for some organisms that cause pneumonia. So for example, you have it's called Prevnar, the pneumococcal vaccine. Mm-hmm. It's part of the required vaccines for school. So practically every kid in America is vaccinated unless the parent opts out.
Well, you know, when I had my babies, that's when I found out that there was a vaccine for pneumonia. But as you said, it's only for certain kinds. I think it was for a vaccine for the virus, but not for the bacteria. You can probably tell.
Well, the pneumococcal vaccine is for the bacteria that causes pneumonia. Mm-hmm. The RSV antibody we have now helps to stop the infections with this RSV that might go on to then cause RSV pneumonia.
Now, when it comes to things like COVID and RSV, those things lead to pneumonia. So you can kind of have both, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So the infection starts usually in the upper airway, so around your throat, your behind your nose, mm-hmm. and then it tracks down into the throat, and then gets into the big airways of the lungs. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, that's where it ends for most people. But in the younger kids, they're not able to protect their lower airways. So it tracks down into the lower airways, the tiny little passageways that we breathe through. And then when it gets into those lower airways, it clogs up those lower airways with mucus. So it becomes more difficult for them to breathe. And then if they don't get further relief, it then tracks into the lung tissue itself. Then you have a pneumonia. So it's almost like a continuum from upper airway infection, tracking to the lower airway infection, and then going into the lung tissues, and it becomes a pneumonia.
And that's even worse when you've got a kid with asthma, because my oldest had asthma and, well, I'm sorry, AJ, I'm thinking that you were a baby.
I didn't know it went away.
I'm thinking that's when you say it went away.
No, you just said had, and that was funny. I was like, wait a minute, past tense, like, I got rid of it? I was like, I'm confused.
When it's diagnosed,
right, cause they didn't tell me anything. Like, I'm over here, got the inhaler waiting and stuff, you know? Like, dang.
I'm sorry.
How long have I been free?
Like, you would let me finish my sentence. What I was going to say at the time, we were learning so much. AJ was an infant. He had surgery when he was 2 months old for a stenosis, blockage of his intestines. And so, and on the up, you know, figuring out what was wrong with him, we found out he had an allergy to milk. Mm-hmm. And an allergy to soy. Mm-hmm. So we went through multiple, you know, kinds of formula and settled on Nutramigen, which he hated.
That's probably why I don't remember the
name. And then at 2 months, you know, they figured out, that he had pyloric stenosis and had surgery. Then here comes respiratory stuff and my baby's, you know, at the children's hospital and they've got his little arms up in the air and he's screaming bloody murder. They're like, Mom, we know this sounds bad, but, with him screaming like that, we actually get clearer pictures. I'm like, well, yay. But then you find out your kid's got got asthma. And so he's got asthma. He's got pneumonia and it's just not fun. So what do you say, you know, to kids who are, you know, cause we are talking to teens and unfortunately they don't always like to take the best care of themselves who, you know, have those types of issues and, you know, they can help their parents out by not doing certain things that will make them more prone to get sick. So what would you tell them to do?
Okay. So first of all, asthma itself makes you more prone to airway infection. Particularly lower airway infections, and also by extension makes you more prone to pneumonia than the regular rest of us. Some things that you want to avoid. First of all, you want to keep away from the triggers of the asthma.
Right.
So smoke, dust, you know, some people have
pollen
triggers such as animal dander, like, you know, hairs from cats and dogs, and some people, oh, this is one of the ones you can protect against, things like mice in the house, mm-hmm. dust mites, mm. those are things that might be able to, you know, you can minimize. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of young people now smoke and the vape.
Yeah, the vapes.
Well, those are things that are destroying their lungs. So you don't want to further put your lung at risk when you already have asthma. Mm-hmm. So I'll say young people shouldn't smoke. But if you have asthma, that's the only reason why you shouldn't even ever try it. Mm-hmm. Or vape, they say they're vaping. And I said, well, why do you want to have little explosions in your lungs?
Ooh,
explosion. Wow.
Hang on, wait a second. let's talk about that for a quick second. Little explosions. What do you mean by that?
Well, how do you think vaping works?
I don't know. I've never done it, not gonna lie. I do not know how that works at all.
So you have the vaping machine or whatever that thing is they put in the mouth, the or something. Well, when you try like that. Vaping pen, right? When you try to then suck it in, you have little micro explosions that burn off the nicotine in the lungs. Mm-mm. So that's the problem with that. You have this hot thing you're inhaling. You don't want that in your lungs.
Not at all.
Exactly. So
explosions.
So you have a lot of little, let's call it scars that then form in people's lungs when they vape over a long time. Mm-hmm. Well, then they have difficulty breathing later on in life. So we have COPD that old people have. They can't clear their lungs because they don't have all those little scarring that you have in the lung tissue and in the lower tiny airways. So really we shouldn't. I guess if people need nicotine, maybe they should chew the gum or something and not.
Right, like a nicotine patch or
right.
Something like that.
Well, I'm glad you said that because I recently had someone close to me. Their son ended up in the emergency room after spending time with some friends and didn't tell his parents. So then, you know, they just happened, you know, dad just happened to have a bad feeling and called us sick and, oh, well, I'm in the emergency room. So they went to check on him and he said he had an asthma attack. So he's 18, he didn't have to necessarily disclose. So they went to the friend's house to get his things and it smelled like marijuana. So when you're talking about vaping and that, you know, messing with the child's lungs who has asthma, what does, you know, does marijuana have that same effect? Because there's so much information out there making it seem like marijuana is not going to be a problem for kids, especially kids with, you know, who are teens, and that it's okay. But I've heard other studies say that it can affect their brain. You know, as their brains are maturing, it can negatively impact their brains. Then I've read about kids being hospitalized because of adverse effects of it. And to me, it sounds like it induces some type of mental health issue. Anything that makes you feel paranoid, that just reminds me of paranoid schizophrenia. I don't want to take that, but you're a doctor.
Not to mention the overdose too.
They think they can't overdose on it too. So I'm just, you know, if you've got a kid with asthma who's more prone to getting upper respiratory infections, you know, and pneumonia and that type of thing, will, you know, smoking something like marijuana or these other little things that they, I know you talked about the vape, there's some other thing that they have, some kind of bong thing that everybody's thinking is cool. Will all that stuff do the same thing to their lungs or do they have different?
Yes. So, For anyone who has asthma, you don't even want anything beyond just regular air in your lungs.
Okay.
Right. You don't want any dust, any smoke. Mm-hmm. So even marijuana smoke, you don't want that. Shisha smoke, you know, you don't want that. Vape, you don't want that. Regular cigarettes, you don't want that. If you were to rank safety, you might say marijuana is not as bad as cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
but it's not entirely safe. So it's not like you get a pass on marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
No, the problem with cigarette smoking is that you, on the long run, it affects too many things. It has effects on your blood vessels all over your body. It has effects on your lungs. There's a risk of cancer. All of that from cigarette smoking.
Question.
Whereas with marijuana,
mm-hmm.
it hasn't been linked to higher incidence of cancers. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But in people who have predisposition to mental illness, one of the ways that you trigger the mental illness that you already are predisposed to is to go smoke marijuana. So whereas it might be safe in most people, but people who already have a predisposition to mental illness, marijuana is not safe.
I feel like that should be on a label somewhere. Do not use if schizophrenic or depressed or at all, you know.
Well, and the other thing is the kinds of, I always say my grandparents lived to the over 100 years of life.
That's
good. And so I would boast that I have great genes. Yeah. But that's not really that true. My grandparents never, in all their lives, maybe they had one cube of sugar.
Wow.
Dang.
They just ate from the farm, directly from the farm. My grandma probably walked like 10 miles every day for most of her life.
Wow. That's a lot. 20,000 steps. 20,000 steps.
Yeah. So she walked to her farm, she walked back home, she walked to the market to sell her produce. She was just walked everywhere. Mm-hmm. Well, from the day I was born, I was taken home in a car.
Mm. Right.
So I go everywhere, I drive a car, I go upstairs, I go on a lift, I go down the escalator. Mm-hmm. Well, so my lifestyle isn't the lifestyle they live. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So some of the things, so the kind of stresses in our life. So my grandpa never paid water bill or electricity bill. Mm-hmm. He didn't care. He had water supply by the local government. Mm-hmm. If he didn't pay that bill, they would cut it off. He didn't care. He had water from the well. Mm-hmm. So I live a life now. I have to pay mortgage. I have to pay my car note. I have to pay this. I have to pay that. So life is stressful. Mm-hmm. So even though they live to 100 without any mental health crisis, that doesn't guarantee that I won't have it from all the stresses in our lives. So we shouldn't assume that because there's nobody in my family with who ever had schizophrenia, then I can't have it. That's not true. They didn't go through the kind of, you know, TikTok and, you know, all the social media that you're going through, right? They lived their lives. They knew their neighbors. Now we have, you know, sometimes we don't even know who our neighbors are. And that's the unfortunate lives we live now. It's more stressful. There are too many demands on us that might make us more prone to mental illness. Now then add on top of that marijuana smoking. So, I don't think it's as safe as the media and the, you know, the making it that we can all just, it's like we're missing out on something if we don't smoke marijuana.
Well, you know, you've talked so much about the different diseases that are out there. And I know right now the really prevalent ones are that they're talking about are RSV and COVID and the flu. Should we put on masks again? You asked because we stopped. I mean, we wore our mask up until August and then we stopped and we've been vaccinated, but they're saying 1,000 people a week are dying from COVID, which compared to the way it was in the beginning. I know that those numbers are lower, but still it's a lot of people dying. And my mother, whom I take care of. That's what I was doing earlier, like taking care of my mom. And she's sick. So we try our best to protect her. That's why we wore masks for so long. So should we as a family go back to masking and just to protect her?
Yes. So masking is to do two things. One is to help if we have a cough, runny nose, then even in the house, we should wear a mask so we don't spread it to grandma, we don't spread it to our siblings and our parents. Mm-hmm. And if we have a cough and runny nose, then we shouldn't go to school and spread it to other kids and make them all sick in school. Mm-hmm. Because some of them also live with their grandparents who have cancer or other diseases who can't afford to fall sick. Mm-hmm. So that's the problem with this upper respiratory tract infections. Mm-hmm. So I'll say at home, particularly if an older person is at home who is also not feeling too well, mm-hmm. then we should mask at home mm. when we're around them. So if it's possible to isolate them. So let's say there's a back house where grandma stays. Mm-hmm. Well, so when she's there, she doesn't have to mask in her own space. She can do her own thing. Mm-hmm. When we are going in to say, oh, hi, grandma, what's going on? Well, you mask when you're going in there. Mm-hmm. And then when you're out of her space and you're back in the regular place, you don't need to mask. Mm. Yeah.
Now, just to be clear, because not going to lie, I do not want to wear a mask when I go to school on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever that is.
Well, so if you have a cough and runny nose on Monday, then you might have to wear a mask to school. Wash your hands. Don't put your...
I'll say it again. Did you say use Germex or did you say wash your hands, Dr. Oyurende? Because we have someone, we won't say who, but Alex, who does not like to wash his hands. He prefers Germex.
Wash your hands all the time. Quit your cap, bro.
I use soap and water just as much as I use Germex. Y'all just don't see it. It just happens to be like, I just happen to be in the mood for Germex when you're in the room. You know what I mean?
Bro. Alex, do not make me call for you, bro. That is cap.
How is it cap, bro?
How
you finna tell me, bro? I use soap and water just as much as your rest, bro. I literally do. It's just that, you know, I use that in the bathroom, you know what I'm saying? So of course, when I get to the kitchen or something, about to do the dishes. I just happen to be in the mood for Germex for once.
Quit the cap. Stop. Quit the cap.
There's no reason to do Germex. No, that's not. No.
No, he's talking about when he's going downstairs to do the dishes. Oh, I just put on them Germex because I'm in a Germex mood.
Exactly, bro.
But Alex, not gonna lie, the last time I saw you wash your hands with soap and water was when Mama forced you to.
Exactly, the last time you saw me do it,
Alex,
bro.
Every single
do you
time.
See me use the bathroom?
Alex, every single
do
time
you see me use the bathroom?
Right, we see you doing it.
That's because I'm drying my hands. You dry? Who dries their hands like this? We have two towels in the bathroom for you to dry your hands. There's no reason you coming out the bathroom. Smelling just like alcohol or ethanol, whatever that stuff is they put in there.
Oh my gosh.
It's a different time.
Dr. Oyurende, which is better?
Well, you have to wash your hands with clean water and soap.
Mm.
That's the best. Soap. Now they soap. When you don't have a choice, so let's say you are in school,
mm-hmm.
you don't have access to a sink with free flowing water. Well, then you can use
And I believe you have Germex with you on your backpack for that reason, Alex.
But even then, we got soap in the bathroom.
We got Germex in the bathroom too.
No, we don't. Not at school. We got soap in the bathroom. They got the little pink thingy. You put your hand up to it, and then there's that little foam stuff. And
but we got Germex at home though. In the bathroom.
So you're telling me when you go
so
to the
you're
bathroom,
telling me, so
cool,
you're telling
you're
me,
gonna wait till we get
so
home.
So you're telling me
Germex.
that I can't exercise my options?
There are no options. Well, it's called soap and water every day.
Soap and water or Germex.
No, bro.
One or two.
So you're telling me you're at school, you're going to leave the bathroom without washing your hands to go to class and get Germex.
No, bro. I'm not nasty like you, bro.
I wash my hands at least. I don't go to the bathroom at school. What are we talking about?
It's 12:59. Dr. Oyurende, what would you like for kids to know about? Because when COVID started, it was really scary. Kids were obviously afraid because this was something new, but the adults were too. Mm-hmm. So what would you like for them to know before we end the show today?
Well, I'll just say that we are thankful that we now have a good understanding of COVID. We have the resources to diagnose it. We have the resources to manage it. And we all should get our vaccines and our boosters, because then it makes it unlikely for us to then fall seriously ill from COVID. And COVID, like all the other respiratory tract viruses, by washing our hands, you know, when you see you have somebody coughing around you, well, you want to step away a little bit and keep, you know, that the old saying of social distancing.
Mm. 6 feet.
So if someone is coughing and sneezing and all that, well, give them some space. And if you can put a mask on them, encourage them to put a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you can't, because it might be impolite or or intrusive to ask them to put a mask on, then you want to avoid where they are. Step away.
And two more things. One, for the youngins who probably ain't never been taught this, please, when you sneeze or cough, either put your hand, you get your arm, right, and you kind of just wrap it around your face.
Put your hand in and where your elbow.
Right. You get your elbow and you just all look all your face. Or please, just cough and sneeze into your shirt, bro. Just do this. Or get you some tissue. This cup, one, that's just nasty. Two, don't nobody want to see that. It's like, when you cough, I can just feel. Like, I don't even have to know. You're not even in my direction. I just feel the germs. like a little Pokemon, just germ spray everywhere. Nasty. But, and two, this one's important. Don't forget about Dr. Oyurende's book, Who Should We Let Die? It is available on Amazon, or you can get it from his website. So yeah, don't forget about that. Don't forget about that. Check it out.
It's, you know, ever since you and I talked about that book, I haven't been able to get it completely out of my mind. I've thought so often, you know, about what we can do, not just here, but especially in places like Africa where there are public hospitals, but they don't have the things that they need to treat the people. So the sick people have to go buy the hospital supplies themselves in order to get treated. That to me it's just stuck with me. And Lord knows I wish there was something I could do to help. Because Right. Nobody who's sick should have to do that. Of course.